आकर्ण
हियरिंग
भगवान नारद
द ग्रेट पर्सनालिटी
नारद तदा देयर अपॉन प्रीतः बीइंग प्लीज्ड प्रत्याह रिप्लाइड तम हिम बालम द बॉय सत वाक्यम गुड एडवाइस अनुकंपया बीइंग कंपैशनेट आकर्ण हियरिंग भगवान नारद द ग्रेट पर्सनालिटी नारद तदा देयर अपॉन प्रीतः बीइंग प्लीज्ड प्रत्याह रिप्लाइड तम हिम बालम द बॉय सत वाक्यम गुड एडवाइस अनुकंपया बीइंग कंपैशनेट Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The sage Maitreya continued, the great personality Narad Muni, upon hearing the words of Dhruva Maharaj, became very compassionate towards him. And in order to show him his causeless mercy, he gave him the following expert advice. Please repeat after me. The sage Maitreya continued, the great personality Narad Muni, upon hearing the words of Dhruva Maharaj, became very compassionate towards him. And in order to show him his causeless mercy, he gave him the following expert advice. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since the great sage Narada is the foremost spiritual master, naturally his only activity is to bestow the greatest benefit upon whomever he meets. Dhruva Maharaj, however, was a child, and so his demand was also that of a playful child. Still, the great sage became compassionate towards him, and for his welfare, he spoke the following verse. So Dhruva Maharaj wanted to have a kingdom even superior to that of his grandfather, Brahma. Now Brahma has the most elevated position in the universe. Like Brahma's abode is the topmost region of the material nature, material universe. There are 14 planetary systems, and of them, the highest one is called Brahmaloka or Sattaloka. So that is the highest region of the material nature. And Brahma is actually holding the most elevated position in the material nature. He is the person who engineered this universe, and to every universe he is the topmost personality. And Dhruva was the grandson of Brahma, and Dhruva was insulted by his stepmother. His stepmother told him that if he wanted to sit on the lap of his father, then he'll have to perform many, many austerities for many, many lifetimes to become her son. Then only he would be able to sit on his father's lap. Actually, Dhruva's father, King Uttanapad, had two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. And generally women are very envious, and especially when they become, when was the expression, there is a Sanskrit expression for that is shotin, or you can say co-wives. When they become co-wives, their envy reach to the maximum zenith. Like they can't tolerate each other at all. And usually, one wife becomes a little more favorite to the husband than the other wife. So that wife, who is more favorite to the husband, becomes very, very, very demanding and very, very envious. Now, Dhruva Maharaj's mother was not so favorite of his father, and his stepmother was the favorite one. In Sanskrit also there is the expression, let me remember, the favorite wife, and anyway, I can't remember now. And so she could not tolerate this Dhruva Maharaj's stepmother, could not tolerate that Dhruva Maharaj would get any affection from his father. So one day, like a child, every child wants that, every child wants his father's affection. He sat on his father's lap. But his stepmother, when she saw that Dhruva was sitting on his father's lap, she pulled him out of his father's lap and started to insult him in very harsh words. And we can see also that sometimes the women, although they are very affectionate, can become so cruel. Of course, when I talk about women, I do not mean the devotees. I mean the women in the material platform. It is the natural tendency of a woman, because they are materially very attached. The woman's body is very, very attached to the material nature. Like there are two forces or two energies, the spiritual energy and the material energy. And every living entity is a combination. In the material platform, in the material nature, every living entity is a combination of the spiritual energy and the material energy. And in the male personalities, the spiritual energy is more predominant, more obvious or more effective. Whereas in the female body, the material energy is more predominant. So accordingly they take different qualities. Like men are basically detached, because spiritual energy does not depend on the material energy so much. Whereas the women, because they are more influenced by the material energy, they become very attached to the material nature, generally speaking, out there in the material nature. Devotees are situated on the spiritual platform. So they are neither male nor female. They all are the eternal servants of Krishna. They should not be identified according to their bodily designation. So, because the women are generally attached, so that's why they display an extreme emotion in the form of attachment and aversion. When they love somebody or something, their love becomes very intense. And when they hate somebody, that hate also becomes very intense. Like Dhruva Maharaj's stepmother, like we can see it's so cruel actually. A little child was sitting on his father's lap, and here comes this lady and drags him out of his father's lap. We can see that how cruel they can become. So, and not only that, he started to insult the child. And Dhruva Maharaj, he was only 5 years old at that time. But at the same time, he was a Kshatriya child, very, very powerful. So he took the insult so seriously that he wanted to do something about it. He felt that this lady insulted me because she wanted her son to become the successor to the throne. And she feels she's envious of me because she sees me as a competitor to her son, to the throne. So, okay, I'll show her. I will have a greater kingdom than not only my father's but my grandfather's. So we can see that how powerful the Kshatriyas used to be in the Vedic time. And he went and crying, he went to his mother and he said, he told all the story, all that happened. And his mother, we can see that Dhruva Maharaj's mother was a very nice lady. She was a devotee. And actually when somebody becomes a devotee, then all the good qualities become manifest in him. Yashasti bhakti bhagavatta kinchana sarvai gunaistatro samashate shura. When somebody becomes a devotee, then all the good qualities become manifest in him. So Dhruva Maharaj's mother, although she was neglected by her husband, the king, and she was insulted, she was living just like a maid servant actually. Her co-wife was treating her so bad, she was treating her like a maid servant. So, but she accepted everything as Krishna's mercy. Like Queen Kunti, although she had to go through so much difficulties, but she accepted everything as Krishna's mercy. And under every circumstance, she considered how to become more and more dependent upon Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj's mother, who was a great devotee of Krishna, Hari, advised Dhruva that, look, ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme controller of everything. So if you have anything to desire, then you should ask him. Then Dhruva asked, where can I find that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari? So his mother said, he is in the forest. He lives in Vrindavan, in the forest. of Vrindavan. So Dhruva Maharaj immediately left home. Little child just immediately left home and went to the forest. And Dhruva didn't know who was Hari and he kept on asking everybody in the forest. He would see a tiger, he asked, are you Hari? He would see the snakes and lions and elephants. Then finally Narad Muni came, the supreme spiritual master, the very, very elevated, the Prabhupada says, he is the foremost spiritual master. Narad Muni is actually a very, very compassionate personality. Whenever he sees someone is ready to take Krishna consciousness, immediately Narad Muni comes. Narad Muni can travel anywhere, both in the material nature and spiritual nature. And he is always preaching. He is traveling around the world and he sees the qualified persons and he immediately gives him Krishna consciousness. So he came to Dhruva Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj told him what he actually wanted. And then Narad Muni, who is a very compassionate person, Prabhupada is saying, the spiritual master is very, very compassionate. That is the qualification of it. That's one of the most important qualifications of a spiritual master. The spiritual master must be very compassionate. He should be willing to even go to hell for the sake of his devotee, disciples. A spiritual master doesn't care for his own welfare. And he is willing to deliver the living entities, those who are depending upon him for spiritual advancement. Often devotees ask, what about the karma of the disciples? The spiritual master has to take the karma of the disciples. Yes, when one gives initiation, he knows that he'll have to take the karma. Actually, Krishna takes the karma, and he is the via medium, so the karma passes through him. And if he is not 100% Krishna conscious, then yes, he takes the karma. That risk he takes, and he never feels that he is Krishna conscious. He feels, a devotee always feels that he couldn't become a devotee. But still he takes the responsibility, knowing very well that he'll have to take the karma of his disciples, and he feels, well, let me take the karma of these devotees, but at least let them go back to Godhead. I don't care about myself. That mood was very wonderfully displayed by Vasudev Dutta. Vasudev Dutta told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that give me all the sins of all the living entities and let them go back to Godhead. Such a wonderful display of compassion. So Prabhupada very elaborately described the qualities of Vasudev Dutta. And a spiritual master has to develop that kind of qualities. Not to that extent, nobody can actually be as elevated as Vasudev Dutta desire to take all the sinful reactions of all the living entities. But at least those who are taking the responsibility of becoming spiritual masters in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should have that mood. There is a saying that in the scriptures that gurabo bahobo santi shishya bitto apoharaka. But there are many gurus who are expert in stealing the wealth of their disciples. There are lots of bogus gurus in the world. Those who simply want to cheat the people, those who come to take shelter of them. But there are very few gurus, those who are shishya santapo haruka. Santap means misery, suffering. There are very few gurus, those who can deliver or those who can mitigate the sufferings of their disciples. And the gurus in the line of Gaudiya Sampradaya, in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, must display this qualities of delivering the miserable, suffering, conditioned souls. That's what Mahaprabhu's movement is designed for. Sankirtan Yajna is designed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver all the miserable living entities. And in this age, living entities are very, very sinful. In the age of Kali, people are very, very sinful. We can see how sinful people have become. Even a few years back, somebody was telling me that even in the West, people are not eating cow's meat. Even in Europe, people were not using cow's meat. And of all the sins, the most heinous sin is to eat meat. Cow's meat. To kill cows is the most dangerous sin. And nowadays, every day they're slaughtering millions of cows. Actually, the world has become so sinful. Even a few years back, people would not indulge in illicit sex unless and until husband and a man and a woman were duly married, will not indulge in illicit relationship. But nowadays it has become a part of their life. In the university in the university hostels, I remember, there are arrangements for boys and girls to live together. The educational institutions are promoting illicit sex. So we can see that how degraded, how sinful people are becoming. And only for a chapala sukha, only for a very, very temporary pleasure, these people are actually paving their way back to hell. And eternally they will be suffering in hell. They don't care about that. They're so much in ignorance that they do not know what's going to happen to them. And if somebody comes and tells them, they say, this is just some kind of superstition. If somebody goes and tells them about the consequences of their sinful activities, they simply don't want to listen to that. They simply laugh it off. And they think that is advancement. And they think to believe in God and to believe in karma is backward. But Mahaprabhu's movement has been designed to deliver the conditioned souls for this age, of this age. It is a very, very wonderful mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the living entities have become most unqualified, at that time, His mercy has come down in the most magnanimous way. In other ages, Krishna used to consider the qualification of an individual to become elevated to the spiritual sky. But in this age, when Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He is not making any consideration for qualification. No consideration for qualification. Anybody can take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement. So if somebody is representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he has to be also as merciful as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If somebody is representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he also has to display this kind of magnanimity, this kind of compassion, and should not care for himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he did not care for his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he was playing the role of a devotee. So this is how we can see that in order to distribute his compassion, how merciful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has become. So if we want to become a true representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we also have to display the same kind of mercy. And we cannot think, I am not going to become a spiritual master, so I do not have to become so compassionate. No, no way out. Everybody has to become a spiritual master. That is Mahaprabhu's instruction. Amar aggay guru hoya taro ei desh. Whoever is taking the process of Krishna consciousness, he must become a guru. Because Mahaprabhu's movement is a movement of distribution. So we have to be willing to distribute this love of Godhead. This movement is not meant for misers. Those who are concerned about their own karma, their own welfare, they are misers. A miser doesn't want to give money to anybody else. He wants to keep it for himself. Now the money, the subtle wealth, is actually pious activities. The gross form of wealth is money or gold, and the subtle form of pious wealth is piety, pious activities. If we have a lot of piety, it's something like having a big bank account. You can go and you can desire anything and you'll immediately get it. If you have a lot of pious activities, then whatever you desire, it'll be fulfilled. It's like, you know, if you have a lot of money in your pocket, you can go to any shop and you can buy whatever you want. So the same way, this piety is a subtle wealth. Now, piety and sin, these are the two factors. Piety, pious activities, give us enjoyment, and sin gives us suffering. But a devotee doesn't care, a devotee in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't care about piety or sin. He is transcendental to this concept of duality, of enjoyment and suffering. Piety and sin. He is simply, he knows that he is the eternal servant of Krishna, and wherever he is, Krishna will take care of him. So even if he has to go to hell, he doesn't mind. He feels, well, wherever my master sends me, I will go. A servant can never be a chooser. Servant cannot say, well, my lord, my master, why are you sending me to such a dirty place? If the master says, go to hell, then the servant says, obedient servant says, yes, my lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. So if someday Krishna tells us, go to hell to preach, then we'll say, we have to say, or at least we should say, that my lord, wherever you want us to go, we'll go there. Like when Prabhupada came to the West, for Prabhupada it was actually going to hell. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, completely absorbed in chanting and distributing Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada felt the need to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, his Guru Maharaj wanted, so he went to the West. But West is actually hell. If we want to see hell, then this is the hell. I mean, the West is the hell. Like, look at the suffering. Apparently, everyone is trying to intoxicate himself with all kinds of poison to forget the misery of this hell. Why people are taking intoxication to such an extent in the West? Because otherwise they can't handle it. The condition is so miserable. Apparently it may appear that, oh, big nice buildings, nice cars, and so on and so forth. But what is their internal condition? Consider the number of people committing suicide. Consider the number of people, those who are getting divorced. Consider the number of abortion. Now, do people get involved in this kind of activities if they are enjoying? If someone is enjoying, does he commit suicide? I am so happy that I want to commit suicide. No. Nobody commits suicide out of happiness. Everyone commits suicide out of misery. When the suffering reaches its peak, when the suffering reaches its optimum point, when he cannot bear it any longer, then he says, well, let me just finish myself off. So we can see how, in spite of all these material arrangements, people are suffering. Actually, we don't have to go very far. If we go back to our own lives, then we can see how we were suffering. But by Krishna's mercy, the suffering has become mitigated, and that is all because of Srila Prabhupada. All because of Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada came to the West, that's why we have been delivered. Had Prabhupada not have come, then probably many of us would have committed suicide, many of us would have been in the lunatic asylum, we would have been practically destroyed if Prabhupada hadn't come. And Prabhupada didn't care Prabhupada didn't think, why should I go to hell? Let me stay in Vrindavan. But no, Prabhupada felt that I must go. Because my spiritual master wanted, I must go and preach to the suffering condition souls of the hellish planet. So that is how a devotee feels compassion for the living entities. And if we want to preach, Mahaprabhu's movement is a preaching movement. And if we really want to preach, then we have to have compassion. Without compassion, we cannot preach. If we try to preach without compassion, then it's an ego trip. They're going out and telling people, oh, you are a karmi, you are in Maya, and you are going to suffer. That's not how a devotee feels. A devotee doesn't chastise people, doesn't blast people because of their misery, but he feels miserable himself, seeing how miserable they are. Like if you see your brother suffering, how will you feel? Provided you love your brother. And if you see that your brother is suffering very much, somebody is beating your brother, how will you feel? You immediately try to save your brother. Right? So the same way, a devotee feels that compassion. He cares for his brothers and he sees that every living entity is related to him. Because every living entity is a child of his father, Krishna. And he wants to take them back to Krishna, the Supreme Father. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is. And in this movement, every active member has to distribute this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada once gave an example. Actually, Prabhupada was preaching in a place near Mayapur, and it was Mahesh Pandit's Shripat. Mahesh Pandit was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The place of Mahesh Pandit, Prabhupada was giving a lecture, 1977, just before the Mayapur festival. And Prabhupada was urging them to take up this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach Krishna consciousness. And he was telling that somebody may think that how can I preach, how can I become a guru? How can I, because I do not know. I am not such an advanced devotee. But Prabhupada said, doesn't matter. Whatever you know, just go out and preach. To that extent you become a guru. And Prabhupada gave an example, the way there are some birds that like sparrows that fly around the house, fly around the courtyard. And then there are other birds that fly from planet to planet. There are different kinds of birds. The same way there will be different kinds of gurus according to their ability. Some will preach to their neighbors around their house. And some devotees will go preach from planet to planet. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, soon before he left this planet, in Mayapur one night he was looking up at the moon, and he commented that all the living entities in moon are becoming un-Krishna conscious. And soon after that he left. So some of his associates feel that he actually went to the moon planet to preach there. Because he saw that the inhabitants of moon planet are giving up Krishna consciousness. So this is how devotees feel. The devotees, advanced devotees, go from planet to planet to preach. Devotees do not care so much about their own liberation. That's why Mahaprabhu prayed, Mamo Janmoni Janmonishwari. Mahaprabhu is not saying that let me serve you in this life and next life let me go back to Godhead. But Mahaprabhu is saying, life after life let me just become your servant. So that same mood is displayed in a very, very wonderful way in Narad Muni. Narad Muni, if he wants, Narad Muni can stay with Krishna all the time. Narad Muni has the benediction that he could go anywhere. So he can go anywhere. He can go to Vrindavan, and the topmost region of the spiritual sky, and he can go also to the hellish planets, the lowermost platform of this material nature. He has access to anywhere. And he can just appear anywhere, just within no time. And Narad Muni, if he wanted, he could be with Krishna all the time. But no, Narad Muni feels that it is more important to deliver the conditioned souls. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? First, you have to become fully convinced about Krishna. So now that you are in the Bhakta program, you are a student, right? So first we become students, and then after studying, after learning the subject, then you become a teacher. So when you realize that how you have been saved by the devotees, then you also feel like distributing and save others. So it's a matter of time. And now you become a good student and you learn very nicely the science of Krishna consciousness. And even if you feel that you are not qualified to help them, help the suffering conditioned souls, but still you have to try. But anyway, there is no hurry. First you become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, and then you try to lift others to Krishna consciousness. Like if you are standing on a slippery ground, then can you lift somebody else? Right. Or if you do not know how to swim, can you save a drowning person? Right. So first you have to learn how to swim. So that is, first you have to save yourself, and then you have to save others. And saving yourself means, how do you save yourself? Mike? Yes, very good. By simply depending on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We do not save ourselves by swimming ourselves. We simply save by holding on to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is holding on to the lotus feet of his spiritual master. Right? So there is a big chain of holding feet. So So this is how we become saved. Is that clear? Any other question? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.